This is the Limbit Opik Show on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back, one and all, to me, Limbit Opik, here at today's News Talk, TNT. What a great guest I had there, Melvin Marks, a financier who lifted the lid on the Gordon Gekko world he inhabited for all those years when he worked in the city in London. I can concur with that a bit because I know people, I brushed with it myself, though I never worked in the city directly. Lots of you making comments about the fact that where there's money, there's corruption, and the big money is essentially suspicious and run by globalists. These days, I have to agree. I think you can get a little bit rich and no one notices. Once you get into the big league, the World Economic Forum will give you a call and tell you to behave or tell you what to say. Who knows? Also, some comments about music and the music industry. Just a Bloke says, try getting a contract with any public service without comprehensive ESG, DEI policies and so on. It's impossible. And all who you know, what you know. I know that from experience. Yes, I know exactly what you mean. I agree with you. Eric says, with the military, retired generals and admirals should not be employed or paid as consultants by defense contractors, merchants of death in brackets. They continue to have contracts with their former colleagues who are still in the military. It's an old boys network to arrange contracts. I suspect it's the same with other government agencies too, former government employees working with providers. Lord Melbury, thanks, Melvin. What happened to the news? Oh, well, we don't always have the news at weekends. We have music. And Hermetica says Hermetica loves the music. So there's a support. The music is all in the eye of the beholder or the ear of the beholder. So I won't comment. Love it or hate it. You just can't ignore it. And a couple more. Eric says campaign finance laws need to be changed. Companies receiving government contracts shouldn't be kicking back funds to politicians who now rely, no need, more funding to be a viable candidate. Well, Eric, if you go to the United States, you can see that writ large, much more even than here. But that's always been the case. When I was an MP, a member of parliament in the United Kingdom, the Liberal Democrats, my old party, walked this strange tight line trying to get funding, but claiming that it was independent of big business and unions. So there's a bit of a dichotomy for you. Hermetica says, people are different. I love the vocals. That's hopefully about music. And that's going to be relevant to my next guest as well. And Lord Melbury says, I'm just biased. I've mixed thousands of independent band songs. That's interesting, Lord Melbury. Then you're going to definitely find the next guest interesting. A couple of stories I just want to comment on before we do go to Jim Lawton. One is we finally see cracks in the coalition cabinet in Israel. A chap called Benny Gantz, I think he's called, apologies if I've got that wrong, has said doesn't like the absence of a proper plan for Gaza. Maybe at last there's public dissent from close to Benjamin Netanyahu. Why do I care about that? Because opinion coming up, folks, I think he is killing tens of thousands of innocent people, and he won't achieve the result that he claims he wants, which is to stamp out every single Hamas fighter. I grew up in Northern Ireland. You don't get rid of terrorists by terrorizing a community. What you do is you recruit terrorists and you recruit militants, you recruit freedom fighters. Depending where you stand, one of those definitions will be right and the others will be wrong. It's a council of fools, really, who thinks that you can wipe out an entire movement and witness the fact that Netanyahu and his Israeli Defense Forces having to go back to places they claim had been swept and cleared of all these terrorists to get rid of more Hamas fighters. Now, I stress again, and the story for another time, we won't be covering it today, this whole question about Hamas, whether they're terrorists or whether they're defending people, it's all depending on where you come from. It really is. It's a relativistic debate. But let's just see how this coalition breakdown develops and whether Netanyahu will stop in his headlong rush to carry on sweeping Gaza, as far as I can tell, up and down, claiming that he's going to get absolute victory one day. It's something for nothing. And you don't have to be a military genius to know this. He won't. That can't be done. There's another story I want to mention, which I'll come back to at the beginning of the next hour. Why parents are ditching their cars. The taxpayer state-sponsored British media outlet actually has a story which claims that living without a car could feel like a bold and even frightening decision for a generation familiar with seeing multiple vehicles parked outside a single home. Yes, Then it continues. But for dozens of parents, dozens now, there's 75 million people in Britain, dozens of parents who've decided to go car-free to do their bit to save the planet, the change has been easier than feared. I'll come back to that at the beginning of the next hour when I've got Harry Wilkinson from Net Zero Watch. Suffice to say, marker from me here, this is just drivel, utter and total drivel, saving the planet. If you really wanted to save the planet, you wouldn't have more than two kids. Because if you have more than two kids, you're increasing the population. The biggest single thing you can do to increase emissions is have children. Two in, two out, maybe. Once you get beyond that, as many environmentalists have, then you're simply whistling in the wind. Hypocrites, I suggest they are, if they're willing to increase population while wringing their hands enough to cycle their families on precarious two wheels to and from school. I'll come back to that at the beginning of the next hour because it's really relevant to Harry Wilkinson. But for now, I want to go back to some of the questions you were asking about music, questions about how demonic the music world is. Can we see anything positive coming out? And the reason for that is because my very next guest is a man right in the heart of the music industry in the process of making it big. It's Jim Lawton. I'm Len Metobic. This is TNT. We're going to speak to him right now.
Be a part of the conversation.
I want representation I can trust.
Have your say.
Biden isn't doing enough.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Ollie says the state-sponsored British media outlet is pathetic. Well, this story is absolutely pathetic. You'll find it online. And Holly adds, if I want a car, I will have a car. If I want a bike, I'll have a bike. But no one is going to tell me what I may or may not have. Thank you. Well, here's a rebel with a cause. An electric enemy of what, though? Let's find out from Jim Lawton. Jim, welcome to today's News Talk TNT. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Electric enemy, tell us about that first. Who are you the enemy of?
So, electric enemy is my artist project in the kind of rock world. And the enemy... I mean, what is the enemy? The enemy is lack of attention to mental health situations. It's everything that is taking us away from each other, basically. So whether that's phones, social media, whatever it may be, that is technically the enemy. But I'm very friendly otherwise.
Well, you can be friendly and an enemy. I've often said that I'd much rather be in a face-to-face meeting with an enemy who has values I understand rather than a friend who has no values at all. So there we go. I watched a film last night, Jim, called Heat, in which Al Pacino is a cop and Robert De Niro is a crook. And they have this famous scene. They have a cup of coffee together and we realize that they're very similar characters. I don't want to spoil the film. Doesn't necessarily.
I watched it a while ago. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think when it came out, quite a film. Yeah. I think Al Pacino likes to shout in the film, if I remember correctly, quite a lot. So, but you know, it was a time for all of that, wasn't it?
He's gone. Bam, bam. And then he actually looks like the character from The Devil's Advocate when he's the devil. It is a bit of a problem. Spoiler alert. Sorry, anyone else has seen the film, forget I said that. So you got the film, you've got the band Electric Enemy. I've watched it from a distance because I have an interest in the record label ZY Records, run by Guy Stanway, who is a fairly regular contributor to today's News Talk TNT. It looked to me you were going to break a few years ago, then maybe COVID got in the way.
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of people do feel like COVID kind of arrested their development in the kind of music industry. Obviously, I remember we were supposed to be doing some tours and things like that. And obviously touring is one of the more effective ways of gaining new fans, especially if you're a support on a tour. But obviously we didn't do an awful lot of that. But it did mean, luckily, we were in a situation where we had recorded a whole bunch of music just before. So by doing that, we were able to kind of gradually release things over the COVID period. So even though we didn't necessarily build the live side of things, the streaming side of things actually really took off.
And so, yes, we had Guy on, and indeed it was he was the inspiration for getting you on, because just to explain, last week I won't go on and on and on about this. I'll try to not mention it again in future weeks. But I was appalled by the paucity of musical talent at the Eurovision Song Contest, leaving aside all the sexual, not even innuendo, explicitness, which meant I couldn't show it to my children anymore, who are small. From a music point of view, and that's really what I want to focus on with you, I'm not asking you to make political judgments about Eurovision, but it was pathetic. In the past, you'd have nice melodies, things you could tap your foot to. Everyone always goes on about ABBA, but it's not the only success story. I thought Rock Bottom, which was a success for Britain a long time ago, like 20, 30, 40 years ago, that it was just tuneful. And you sometimes get nice stuff. But now it's just this sort of torrent of tuneless rubbish with some quite questionable singing. Have I just become my father, or have things got worse in the music world or in things like Eurovision?
See, it's a very complicated one, I think, just because, I mean, even from the kind of the other side of it all, I mean, you know, music, I think certain things have changed in music, which have meant that people need to grab the attention a lot faster than before. And by that, I kind of mean, in the past, the kind of general idea was that you had 11 seconds to capture the attention of the listener, whereas now you have something closer to 3 seconds. So obviously, if you start with something a little bit shocking, then you're going to kind of get more people to kind of come in and all of that kind of stuff. I mean, you know, were the 60s and the 70s and the 80s, was that a different time for music? Was that a more interesting time melodically? Maybe. But I think that a lot of things are also being touched on in a way that kind of haven't before. And I think we're just seeing once again the kind of cyclical nature of music, in the sense that, you know, the 90s was a reflection of the 60s. And recently we've had the 80s again through artists like Taylor Swift and The Weeknd and so on and so forth. So I think that if you know where to look, I think that music is actually as good as it's ever been, maybe in some cases even better.
One of the undoubted truths, Jim, is the proliferation of the ability to essentially self-publish music. YouTube is full of it. Podcasters, same thing. I do a podcast. Theoretically, 8 billion people could watch it. Probably they don't, but they could. Today's News Talk is a singular success story in using the new media to reintroduce free speech and an uncensored expression to the media. So I think there are some big positives. We wouldn't be having this conversation if we didn't have some hugely innovative people who came up with Today's News Talk. But that also is a negative for you, isn't it, Jim? Because from a completely pragmatic point of view, that means that you're absolutely squashed in with other competition.
That is very true. I think this number may already be completely out of date, but I remember hearing at one point that there was something ridiculous like 150,000 songs a week or something like that being uploaded on Spotify alone. Which, you know, is enough to add extra anxiety to musicians who are already hugely anxiety ridden. But I don't know. I mean, I think, yeah, that there is the issue of being kind of squashed in with other people, as you say. But at the same time, I guess that the self-publication has, as you've said as well, given a lot more people and a lot more artists the kind of capability to release music in a way that they would have been very much so relying on a major label in the past to kind of get their music out there, whereas now they can get it out there. So I mean, the thing which people are doing and the thing which needs to be done is you have to grab the attention, and sometimes it may create a kind of negative reaction from the public, but sometimes just the conversation itself these days is enough to kind of at least have a conversation happening about your music, even if it is bad, you know?
If your figure's right, and this is top of the head stuff,
yeah.
If the average song's about 4 minutes and you're getting 150,000 songs a week, that means every week, if you listen to the music solidly from every week, you need more than a year to listen to every week's new output. Doesn't that just reduce the thing exactly to what you don't want, which is the big music companies that can chuck money at the chosen few and make them fly?
I mean, isn't that just the case with every industry of every variety, you know? Yes, that does make it very difficult. But again, through social media, there are ways of kind of reaching people, which again, weren't necessarily there before. I think that weirdly, it's kind of like everything has just kind of risen at a very steady, equal pace. So, you know, while they kind of say, you know, we can all release music now and we can all reach people now, all of that kind of stuff does contribute to being able to get more fans. And even if you're not necessarily on the Spotify playlist or on the Apple Music playlist or any other streaming platform, even if you're not on those, I mean, I've seen some of the biggest artists in the world. If you look at the Spotify global charts, which is basically untouched by major labels in a lot of ways, there are artists on there that I've never heard of. And then you look at their ranking in the world and they're, you know, in the top 10, and you would have never heard their name before. But because they're kind of doing it their own way, there's still that kind of artistic respect that I think that you can kind of get from your fan base.
Well, stay with us, Jim. In the next part of the show, I want to talk about what kind of music you do and then ask you something about what this phenomenon, you mentioned her already, Taylor Swift, is all about, and to the extent to which the Taylor Swift phenomenon, I just keep seeing it in the news all week, is actually fabricated rather than authentic. You're watching the Lembitopic Show. Do keep your calls and comments coming. Holly says she's a rebel without a clue. You're not. You're very well clued up, Holly. Stay with us here on today's News Talk TNT. See you after this.
TNT's James Freeman.
You could even come on to tell me that the BBC is a bastion of truth and greatness, and that the vaccines have saved millions of lives, like my guest John yesterday did. But don't expect me to play nice like I did with John yesterday, bless him. I have posted that interview with John on X this morning and asked people to post evidence for him to review. Because let's be frank, that interview was a bit of a shocker, wasn't it? And this is the problem that we are up against. Millions of misinformed people who still think that the vaccines saved millions of lives, despite the evidence not being evidence at all, just modeled data that is being produced to show what the pharma companies want people to believe.
James Freeman on today's News Talk TNT. A better business tip from TNT Radio. The benefits of advertising on today's News Talk TNT Radio should be clear to businesses of any shape or size. It can be accessed anywhere, anytime, by anybody, and is the perfect way to build brand awareness and stimulate digital activity. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live. So many people who had no history of heart illnesses have got it now, or blood clotting after the COVID-19 vaccination. Punish those who hurt people with COVID madness. Lighting the fuse for freedom. TNT Radio.
Thanks for your comments about cholesterol. I find them reassuring. I'll stick to my oats, though. I think at the end, and I went swimming this morning as well. So I'm not saying that I'm the most healthy person in the world, but I do value the Council of the World, also known as the Today's News Talk TNT viewership. So thank you for that. Let's go back to music. I'm with Jim Lawton. When it comes to music, says Lord Malby, I like what I like from whatever genre, old, modern, and everything in between. But I think music went down the toilet to a large extent in the 90s when technology, Pro Tools and Cubase, for example, to do cut and paste beat driven music. What happened there is oversaturation of the same. I think it's way better to get musicians in a room who can play their instruments and write on the fly, so to speak. Having said that, I use that same technology too. Very honest of you, Lord Melbury. Jim, Lawton, the Electric Enemy, to what extent do you depend on tech, and to what extent do you depend on nature's computer, namely the human mind?
I produce, mix, and master everything myself at my home studio here. So I think that the technology is great. I do completely understand what Lord Melbury is saying. I think there's there are two different kind of writing styles. You can either write on the computer, or you can write with an acoustic guitar in your hand or a piano or whatever. So I do think that combining the two is great. And actually, I think rather than kind of fearing some of the technologies that are making it easier to make music, I think at the end of the day, you're always going to need to be a creative and a good enough songwriter to actually get your ideas across, regardless of how easy it is to use certain tools. But I don't know. Yeah, anything that makes my job faster, I'm very, very happy with.
But the issue is now, sometimes I don't actually take social media very seriously. I do it, but I assume that half the critics are not real people. And by the same token, I've come to realize that you can make music automatically. This is a concept that I first read about in Aldous Huxley's book, Brave New World. That was written almost a century ago. Mm. Are you in any way worried that smart algorithms can work out what I'll buy and give it to me?
I mean, I think, are you talking about AI writing songs?
Yeah, AI, essentially AI and of the automated music generation.
So I think at the moment we're in a kind of growing pain stage, in the sense that I think that when, you know, we were recording on tape and then digital opportunities came out, I think that also felt like the end of the world. I think that so long as there are checks and balances in place on the AI stuff, and luckily, I mean, as we were talking about the major labels before, I think that we can really rely on the fact that they want to keep making money off of their artists. I think that they're going to actually be the people who put all of the checks and balances in place. Because, I mean, releasing all of these various things under various pseudonyms and AI and stuff like that, I think that people still want the real person there. So I don't think that will ever really be replaced.
There's a film called Sim 1, which I think was also Al Pacino, where he's essentially going out with a computer-generated girlfriend who becomes a fabulous success. Well, facts followed fiction, because ABBA's just done a virtual tour. And I understand in many ways you can see Taylor Swift, who's now a billionaire because of her success, in electronic ways as well. It seems to me that we are, as you say, living in a twilight zone between human and AI generated music. But is it naive to think there'll be checks and balances when the dollar talks and it's cheaper to build an AI than to pay you?
Yeah. So I think one thing which kind of proved the kind of other side of the coin is when Universal pulled all of their music out of TikTok because they weren't happy with the amount that their artists were being paid, that they were being paid. And I think if you look at just the whole kind of nature of what it is to be a fan of something, a lot of the time it is going to be a real person. You know, with everything we've ever seen have been real people queuing up outside of a hotel or a concert venue or something to see a real person. ABBA is a situation where I think it can still work, because ultimately it's the songwriters and it's the band who are actually going to be reaping the rewards of that. But yeah, I mean, we need to get it right quick, basically, in terms of the checks and balances. But I think it can, again, open the door to some really, really interesting stuff.
I wanted to ask you about Taylor Swift, but then I want to return to talking about Electric Enemy, and if we can, maybe we'll play one of your songs as well. Taylor Swift has now become a billionaire. I happen to quite like her music. You've actually said something I hadn't figured until today because it's perhaps 80s. I relate to that. It's an unchallenging melodic performance. It doesn't require a genius level of musical capability.
Yeah.
Back to this manufactured point, though. I've managed some bands myself with varying degrees of success. The reality, though, is I didn't have $1 million or $10 million to put behind those bands. Has Taylor Swift earned this through merit, or was she just regarded as a commoditizable person? And which is why partly she re-recorded all of her songs again a second time so that she could get the copyright on them.
So 100%, in my opinion, merit, because if it wasn't merit, I don't think that she would have been able to keep on churning out genuinely very, very good songs. I think that she's one of those artists who, rather than less kind of resting on her laurels when she's got to this amazing point, she is still pushing to get that hooky melody, that great lyric, that memorable kind of instantaneous thing. I mean, when you listen to Electric Enemy, you'll hear that we're very, very different, you know, musically speaking. But as a kind of songwriter and producer for others, the pop thing, it's just unavoidable. She's on a lot of my reference playlists when I'm working with different artists. So yeah, I think merit, honestly.
My favorite all-time song of Taylor Swift is actually from her Country and Western days, and she must have been in her late teens. It's called Our Song, and I just think it's a perfect Country and Western song. I like Country and Western. I used to work in the Midwest, actually. And I thought that was a gifted song. And clearly not AI generated. Let's talk about your music, and maybe we can play one of your songs. What genre would you describe yourself as being in? We'll hear it now in a minute, but
yeah,
describe,
so, I mean,
Electric Enemy.
I would personally describe it as a heavy pop. So it's kind of grunge, but with all of the pop sensibilities of, you know, all of my favorite pop acts and disco acts like ABBA and stuff like that. I think it's a punch in the face and something sweet as well, you know.
Well,
but a lot of the time lyrically, we talk about the kind of mental health issues and all that kind of stuff, kind of bringing those to the forefront.
Tell us about the song that we're going to play.
So this song, The Fear, is basically about the, not necessarily the kind of fear of the dark or anything like that, but the point after anxiety where you're scared that something is going to kind of take over your sane mind, you know? So it's riff, hopefully pretty hooky. And it's a precursor to the current single, which is out now, Harder Than It Should Be.
Let's play some of The Fear.
Did you see something over there? In the room, touch my skin, can you feel the air? My legs are frozen up, not breathing in enough. Oh my God, my own mind is a nightmare. Feel it coming, I got the fear, now I'm running. It's already here, feel it coming, I got
there we go. That's a first for me, Jim. We don't normally play music. It is quite dark. I was thinking of the fears. My main fears all relate to the incompetence of a parliament I used to be involved in, I have to say. Lord Melbourne likes it. The fear. Oh, I like that. I'm getting a System of a Down feel here.
I'll take that. Thank you very much.
Is that a good compliment?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. System of a Down were a phenomenon, basically. Just an incredible hard rock band with some fantastic songs.
There you go. There's a praise. Instead of some praise, let's see if we can play a little bit later on in the last part of the discussion with you some of your new release. What's the new release called?
So the new release is called Harder Than It Should Be. And it's quite good to have this one and then Harder Than It Should Be, because they are very different, but hopefully the red line is still visible throughout.
Cool. Well, do that in the next part after the break. Let me read you something here from Just a Bloke. I find this comment interesting and I agree with it. Mm-hmm. Much as it is interesting to discuss the popular beat combo pop rock music sector, as an orchestral musician myself and an orchestra manager, the death of live classical music is rarely, if ever, addressed. With music largely being dropped from the school curriculum, few young wind and string musicians are coming through the ranks. It seems the future of classical music is sadly in free fall. Just a Bloke, you'll be glad to know that my six-year-old was in a piano competition just last weekend. So I'm trying to fly the flag, and my three-year-old bangs at the piano as well. Jim, your view about classical music, any interest in that department?
Beyond interest, honestly. Like, I was brought up on the Beatles, the Beach Boys, Chopin, Bach, Brahms, you know, Purcell, you name it. I love classical music, and it's a huge influence genuinely for Electric Enemy music. I mean, just the Bach kind of changes that you can get in there, which I think even the Beatles loved, you know.
I started in politics at school. I went up the ranks in student politics. I delivered leaflets for years. And I think all of that was the grounding that made me maybe a bit less bad politician than I'd been otherwise. When I learned to fly aeroplanes, and I do have a pilot's license, you start with a small little aeroplane. You start with a theory. And by the time you're flying the big planes, it's because you know the basics. You know the philosophy, the theory of flying, not philosophy, the science of flying. Now, it seems to me that classical music does the same in the popular music world. If you haven't got the grounding in classical music, you're necessarily compromised in your ability to do the better stuff. Am I just living in the past?
No, I wouldn't say so. I mean, so personally, I actually can't read music, but I can play a few instruments, and I think I'm just quite lucky that I've got the ear to be able to kind of pick something up and just kind of do it. But on the other hand, you know, my brother is a grade 8 pianist. He's terrific. My partner is a grade 8 pianist. I think it is really important. And I think that the main issue here actually in kind of schools and general kind of curriculum situations is the fact that art is really being pushed to the side. So classical music, art itself, I think that we're losing a lot of the basis of, you know, the past, because we need to know the past to be able to kind of move on in the future. And especially with classical music as a musician, I mean, that has kind of helped me. I mean, apart from the fact that most of it's out of copyright and you can kind of borrow bits and pieces here and there, as many musicians have done over the years, I still think that if you show someone a choir or play them a huge orchestral moment, even if they have no understanding of classical music, it will make them feel something, because it is just, as you say, just there. It's the root.
I heard a piece of Carmina Burana by Karl Orff. He, as you know, I'm sure, wrote that as an exercise in syncopation and rhythm for his students, but I think it's a classic. And I actually sat in my car. I was at the swimming pool this morning. I swim most mornings. I just sat in the car, totally transfixed and moved by the music. It does seem to me that the best musicians do understand the classical basics. It's almost like the physics of resonance. My father, who was a physicist, he said that He thought the only perfection in the universe was music. And I felt always he could see physics and music being quite similar because it was all about resonances. Am I being too philosophical?
No, no, not at all. Honestly, I think that there is a kind of symmetry that you do get in classical music. I mean, it's the classical pieces that when I've had enough of music for a little while, that's what I always go back to. You know, I know that Chopin's always going to be there for me. If I need a little break from rock or pop music, I think that, yeah, classical music is kind of the thread that ties it all together. For me personally, anyway, it's just peace, you know?
Somebody who I suspect does not have a classical music background, and I could be wrong, was the man dressed as a chicken who won the Eurovision Song Contest. We'll come back to you in just a minute, though, Jim. And obviously, if you are that chicken, do give me a call. I don't want to malign you. It did sound more like a chicken than music to me, but there we go. That's because I'm 59. You're listening to Lembotopic here on today's News Talk TNT with a fascinating and creative Jim Lawton. If we get the chance, we're going to play his latest release in the final part of the show, in which final part of my discussion with him, not final part of the show, in which I also want to talk about the future and return to the prospects of making money in a world where perhaps musicians could be replaced with AI. Don't go anywhere. I'll see you after the break.
From weather and traffic reports
to news of political developments,
we turn to journalists for the information we need to live our daily lives.
Journalists around the world provide the news that is essential for democracy,
for personal freedom, and for safety and stability.
Yet their ability to report freely and safely is under attack like never before.
Too many journalists are paying with their lives.
They face exponential risks and they've already paid a heavy toll.
Death threats, online harassment, and physical attacks
are becoming a daily experience of journalists in all countries.
Absolutely.
We just want people to be safe, to be able to get our readers the information that they need to make informed decisions.
They checked my phone and realized that it was Pegasus. I feel myself like I'm naked at the street.
These charges were politicized from the start.
Facts win. Truth wins. Justice wins.
C'est énorme pour moi d'être là, d'être libre, surtout que je m'y attendais pas du tout.
Stand with a free press.
Stand with journalists whose reporting won't be silenced. Press freedom is your freedom.
One in four Australian women experience domestic violence in their lifetime. Staying is dangerous, but leaving can mean homelessness for them and their children. With your generosity, the Salvos can provide crisis services and ongoing support, helping women find a way out of violence and a way back into a safe and stable life. Help us leave no one in need. Please donate to the Red Shield Appeal today.
Lembotopic on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back as we get close to the halfway point. After the next break, in about 20 minutes, I'll be speaking with Harry Wilkinson from Net Zero Watch and just my analysis of the continuing decline and fall of the non-existent climate emergency. You can have a different view if you want. Put it into the chat if you want. I'll put all your questions, if I can, to Harry. And then after that, we got Philippe Diaz, who has made a pretty punchy film about Guantanamo Bay. So lots to look forward to. But still, we're with Jim Lawton, the frontman from Electric Enemy. Jim, I just want to ask a few questions about the world of live performance. It's harder for an AI to perform live. There is a way of doing it, I suppose. But how important is live performance to the music industry now?
I think that live music has been and always will be super important. to the music industry. I mean, it's where bands and artists cut their teeth. It's where you just kind of get to know who you are. But then it's also, there's nothing quite like playing your songs to a room full of people who know the words and who are singing right back at you. I think it's very important, which is why it's such a tragedy that here in the UK, so many important grassroots venues are being shut down due to a lack of funding. They're not being protected by the government, which is a real shame. But yeah, live music is everything. Absolutely.
The late Kirsty MacColl, who died in tragic circumstances, I always regret not having seen her live. But I was very blessed to get to know Fairport Convention, which is the band that she originally worked with. And when you watch them live, it's just different because they are in a dialogue with their family, also known as the tens of thousands of fans who watch them. What I worry about, Jim, is that it's more profitable to not do that because live performance necessarily gives the artist more than more money than you'd get if you're not doing a live performance. And yet it's the last enclave. It's the last bastion of humanity where it's really easier to have human beings on the stage rather than digital recordings in a computer.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think so. I mean, I think in terms of the ABBA thing, for example, I think that if they weren't such an important legacy act, I don't think people would have turned up to watch them. You know, I mean, I think that if I was to put on an Electric Enemy hologram show and in another venue, I'm on stage playing the songs myself in real life, I'd like to think that the majority of people would come and see the real me. Because there is something to that. You know, there are the mistakes, the imperfections, which with holograms and so on, you don't get. You don't get that real human connection or the ability to actually meet your fans afterwards, whether it's at the merch desk or whatever it might be.
Lord Melbury says it's not overly compressed. This is about the previous song, The Fear. It's not overly compressed either. Plenty of wiggle room on the master bus. Does that mean something?
That means everything. Thank you very much, Lord Melbury. took me a hot minute, that.
That's very good. I'm pleased to hear that. Dusty Bloke adds, the best popular musicians are those who know their circle of fifths, in my humble opinion. We're getting deep into stuff I just don't understand.
Honestly, it lost me on the circle of fifths as well. My music theory is atrocious. But if you sung it to me, I'd know exactly what you meant.
I know. That's a punchline of a song, I know. Holly says, the arts in any form means creativity and freedom of expression. They don't want that. That is true. And I want to ask you about that in a moment. And just one more from Hermetica. I agree with him about classical music. I think it's the same with most of the arts these days. All the skill is gone. They want us dumbed down, no creativity, and controlled by AI. My goodness, Lembit, we are in sync. As soon as I typed AI, you mentioned it. Perhaps I'm an AI, Hermetica. Apart from the fact, to quote Jim, I keep you entertained and informed for 4 hours with my mistakes and idiosyncrasies. There we go. That could be my motto, actually, Jim, and I get that. Just one more. Holly says, I hate the fact that huge venues are now the main places to see music. And the smaller venues have been closed. Keep music live. Keep it new and real. I was involved in the Keep Music Live campaign in 1981, when I first managed a band called Nightmare Patrol, which was quite successful in Northern Ireland, with some great session musicians. They were really successful session musicians, but didn't become famous in their own right. Just in terms of the situation then, in your judgment, well, I'll put it this way. I think that we are now in this period of flux where we're going to work out how AI and humans work together. I always thought vinyl would come back. There's big round record things which are 12 inches across, and they have come back. I have a feeling, in the same way that I loathe the fact that they try to shut bank branches down, I want to go and see a person. I have a feeling that there could be a swing back towards this. Is that just me being nostalgic?
I don't think so at all. I mean, being someone who has a minor anxiety attack at the self-checkout till, you know, that's I completely understand that. there aren't too many items in the bagging area, but that's a problem for another time. Basically, I do think, you know, a lot of people are very interested in merch, like music fans. They want the physical thing. They want to be able to hold it in their hands. And I think that even though streaming has been brilliant for opening up music to everyone, I do genuinely believe that people want to kind of smell the beer on your breath when you're playing live and kind of just be there sweating in a group with other people, singing the songs and just having a great time, you know? So I really believe that we're not going to let each other down, you know?
I think it was my producer, Charlotte, for this show I was talking with yesterday, and she said she was in, or either her or a friend was in a checkout in a supermarket, and one of the staff said, oh, you can do yourself checkout over there. To which the response was, no thanks, I don't work here. Which is quite nice. It's I like that. I love live music, actually. Roy Harper, who is one of my personal favorites, maybe not known to the international community so well, but briefly, very, very prominent and a very good friend of some other friends of mine in Led Zeppelin, who are pretty much still well known. Roy Harper once phoned me up complaining that I was against live music, and he completely misunderstood. I was fighting for live music, not against it. But I just kept thinking, what, Roy Harper's telling me off. This is amazing.
Yeah.
if it had been a computer or something, it wouldn't have happened at all. And I still feel privileged to know some really, really famous people. I won't go name dropping now, but it does seem to me there's still that human thing, the human nature thing, and that music, perhaps more than anything else, as you said, the impro. I play professionally. I play harmonica. Trying to get there with saxophone. When you're there and everyone is suddenly in the same place with the music, those are the golden moments, I think. And I just don't see how prearranged AI can do that, even if it's trying to respond to the audience. It's the soul thing, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, there's no better moment. I mean, even if you, as a musician, you start a song and you completely mess up the lyrics and then you have to stop the song and start the song again. Not saying that's ever happened to me, but I'm also not denying it. People will remember that forever. And it's a laugh, you know, it's kind of like, it's a thing that happened with the person on the stage and the crowd engagement. It's just ingenuine if it's all holographic, you know?
Just one thing. Louise S says, I prefer the sales checkout. Well, I did use a self-checkout yesterday. I was just telling you the story because I thought it was funny. I just don't want to be compelled to go to the self-checkout. I want to have a person. Look,
it's just whenever there's the weighted thing and you have slightly more items and then they start falling off and then all of that starts happening. And for me, that's very stressful. But yeah, I mean, if I'm getting a bottle of water or something, then yeah, sure, why not? I'm in.
This item needs approval. I don't like that.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, they don't even ask for the ID anymore, sadly. So just...
It doesn't need approval. Except, of course, with the new stupid cigarette rule, you could be 75 years old. This item needs approval for the cigarettes. There we are. Mr. Ted says, then, but I haven't heard you mention Julian Assange. Tomorrow's a D-Day for him. Stay with it, Mr. Ted. I'll be doing that in the fourth hour. I'm not doing it now, and I'm not going to waste time with Jim on this. Not because Jim doesn't have views, but that's not what he's here for. What I do want to do is, if I can, to squeeze in this new release of yours, and we'll see if we can play it. No promises. We're going to try. Tell us about the new song before we have a go at playing it.
Is off this current EP cycle. What we've been doing is, since August, releasing a new track once every 4 weeks, which I've been producing and mastering myself. And it's all leading up to an album in September for Electric Enemy. So if you want to check out more of that stuff, we're on Instagram.
Yeah, so say the link, and I'll ask you to do that one more time about where we can find you. Then we'll play the song.
Yes. Yeah. So at Electric Enemy on Instagram or anywhere else, really. But yeah, Spotify, you can find everything. Harder Than It Should Be has recently been added to a couple of Spotify editorial playlists, which is lovely. And it's a kind of ode to my love of the 80s as well as my love of French house and Daft Punk and things like that. So it's kind of a nice blend of everything that I love.
Let's see if the miracle of 2024 technology can play it. Let's give it a go. Here it is. There we have it. First time played to the world right here on today's News Talk TNT, Jim. Do we have to pay you royalties now?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind.
I wish I hadn't done it now.
I'm sorry if you're sorry.
I am sorry. And also, we didn't play the whole thing, so I'll see you in court. By the way, Just a Bloke says, the circle of fifths is a way in which to understand the relationship between musical keys to build chords and chord progressions. It is perhaps the most important concept in music theory. Happy to help, says Just a Bloke. Thank you for
Thank you very much.
And Eric adds, as a former musician, the teacher tells you to play it again, except this time, play it with feeling. Live music plays off a charged audience. They become charged. Music is not exact, like a drum machine. It's an art form. Tempo and volume, dynamics changed. And Holly mentions one of my favorite performers. I remember Robert Fripp's guitar pedals not working at a gig in Hammersmith Odeon. King Crimson was a not forgotten moment, was a key solo. Holly, I know Robert Fripp. There's a name drop for you. He once sat opposite me, Jim, with some fizzy water, and he drank. He says, there's nothing quite that compares with a feeling of bubbles going up your nose. I went, yeah. Okay, didn't expect that. what are you doing next then? What's your next stage in your career? Do it quickly, we're nearly out of time.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, like I said, releasing a single once every 4 weeks up until September, in which point there'll be an album of everything that came before, some new stuff, and just, yeah, essentially just stay tuned because there's going to be a new single getting better and better every 4 weeks.
Well, that is pretty good. Good luck with that. I know that your manager is in America at the moment. Let's hope that brings some rewards as well. Lord Melby says, thanks, Jim. You've got to come back. I'm listening to Daft Punk last night, LOL. Giorgio by Moroder. Banging tune.
Yeah, I've worked with Todd Edwards, who's on that album.
And I hope this is an allegory, an allusion to Led Zeppelin. Hats off to Jim. Hats off to Roy Harper being the original there. Thank you so much, Jim Lawton. Real pleasure to be with you. That's Jim from Electric Enemy. Once again, where can we find you?
Electric Enemy, at Electric Enemy, absolutely everywhere.
thank you so much. Real pleasure to have you on the show. Good thank luck, you. And I'll come and see you live as soon as I am able. Coming up next, we've got Harry Wilkinson from Net Zero Watch, and I'm going to have a rant about people who think that cycles are going to save the planet. They won't. I'll explain why in a short while. All of that with me, Len Botovic, here on today's News Talk TNT. See you after the break.